Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
What do you think Mazzulla was doing there?
He's not blaming any of the players. That's one thing he's been pretty consistent with. He's not burying anybody. He's not going Bruce Cassidy. He's not going, you know, Jim Montgomery. He might feel differently off mic, but on mic, he's, you know, putting the blame on himself. He's kind of lowering expectations. He's doing all that stuff. I think he feels like you're not going to get the most out of these guys if you rip them.
So I give him credit for falling on the sword.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, those two plays are on me. That's not an easy thing to say, to get in front of a microphone and say a loss is on me. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy thing to say. So I give him credit for that. And I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to fall on the sword to prevent any criticism for the players. So I give him credit for that. But then take a step back. Why is he worried about any criticism on the players? Because they can't handle it. Because they're sensitive to it.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's a little too close to the truth. And why is he falling on the sword? Like, what's the need to fall on the sword
there?
Well,
it's a sensitive group.
It's commendable.
Not?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
But I think, again, when you talk about what's off with the team and why they're not playing well, and can we all just acknowledge they're not playing well? You might still think they're going to raise banner 19 and there's no problem and nothing to be concerned about. But let's acknowledge the team is not where you thought it would be with more losses at home than a year ago.
They're like 25 wins off their pace, whatever it was from a year ago.
As many blown fourth quarter leads as they had a year ago already. It's not even February yet. It's not even the All-Star break. Not even the trade deadline. They are one away from double-digit blown leads they had a year ago. There's all these metrics. And they're way off pace for where they were at even a year ago. They're worse than you expected. If we can all start there, then we can have a real conversation about the Celtics. And I just think Joe's fallen on the sword for a reason. I'm not telling you I know what that reason is. Maybe it's because the room is sensitive. Maybe because he understands how fragile it really is with how they're playing right now. But there's a reason he did that last night.
I just think it is maybe the nature of sports, professional sports today. Who called out the players recently? Let's see. Gerard Mayo called him soft. Does he have a job? No. Jim Montgomery called out Pastrnak at times. Does he have a job? No. Bruce Cassidy called out Jake DeBrus. Does he have a job? No. Joe Mazzulla called out nobody. Still has a job. It might just be job security. Might be part of it. Another stat I stumbled upon. They have 6 losses in the month of January. They also lost 6 games in the month of December. They never lost 6 games in a month all of last year.
Mm.
Just 6 losses. Doesn't mean like you can still have a big-time winning record. They were the Celtics are 8-6 in December, 8-6 in January.
Yeah. So
I mean, they're definitely worth, like, I'm with you. You can't have a conversation and be like, they're the same as they were last year. It doesn't mean they can't still win the whole thing, right? There are teams that aren't the number one seed that win the title. I mean, for years and years and years, I don't even know how many times LeBron in Miami or Cleveland was the number one seed. I don't think they prioritized that. There were years that the Atlanta Hawks or the Detroit Pistons or teams like that or the Bulls would be better in the regular season.
Isaiah Celtics, yeah.
Great point. Those teams would be the number one seed. Same with the Spurs and Tim Duncan. I can't imagine they were the number one seed every year they won it because they would rest Tim Duncan. They'd do all this stuff. And then they'd pull it together. So I guess the question is, this team won a title, so do you say
they're good?
All set. All set. They're tested. They proved that they could do it, so you don't need to even worry about the regular season.
I think you need more than one championship to start carrying yourself like LeBron. That's me. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I misspoke. I don't think it was the Isaiah year. I think it was the Kyrie year, actually, where they were the one seed.
Oh, yeah, probably not the Isaiah year.
I thought they had...
Let me double check.
Yeah, check that out. Because there was a year where they were the one seed, and I remember saying that whole postseason. It's like, oh, the Celtics are defending home court. I'm like, no. LeBron will come here and beat you in Game 7. Don't go to a Game 7. I think that might have been the first Kyrie year when Tatum was a rookie, I think.
Let's see.
But regardless, I understand your
finished
point.
Finished first in the Eastern Conference in 2017.
I understand your point. LeBron got to a point where it's like, home court doesn't matter. He's going to rip your guts out.
Yeah.
But how far into LeBron's career was that, and how many titles had he won?
They were 53-29. So 50, like, that was a bad, I mean, 53 got you the number one seed. And then LeBron and Toronto were both 51. There's only 3 50-win teams that year. But that was the Celtics in 17, lost in the conference finals with Isaiah Thomas. Then they upgraded the following year when they got Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Look, I don't think you can start acting that way, but clearly the Celtics think they can.
That's what it's been.
That's how I would feel.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, we were critical of Tatum, both of us, and I agree with this 1,000%. The way Tatum started that game I thought was embarrassing. I think bad habits set in throughout the entire team. Why does Dylan Brooks get 10 wide open threes, 10 out of 15 from three?
I was burying him.
Probably because your superstar is floating through the game.
Yep.
Scoreless in the first half, 0 for 5. And he ended up with 19 points, 15 in the third quarter. Guys, did you see the defense they were throwing at him? This is the text line. They were blitzing him. He was getting the ball to other guys for good shots. Then he basically built the lead in the third and fourth quarter. Brown and Drew went 1 for 11 in the fourth, while Brown took a bunch of bad shots.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would also just say, and I know I'm fixated on this, but getting guys open for good shots, what, like Xavier Tillman 3? That plays into the Rockets' defense. They'll take that every time.
That's not a good shot.
So, like, don't turn into Anthony Edwards. We're making fun of Anthony Edwards. You see him the other day? Apparently, he reached out to Michael Jordan on how to deal with double teams because he's so frustrated with double teams.
Well, we know. After the Celtics beat him, he was bitching about it.
He was like, they're running double teams at me. It's like, yeah, because you're a great player. That's what happens with great players. You need to be able to figure that out. So rather than having if we're going to make fun of guys for complaining about double teams, I'm not going to let Tatum off the hook and be like, yeah, that's why he only had 5 shots. So, like, what, if you just double-team Tatum, he's not going to score?
Yeah. Okay. Another good text here. Why do you guys love Mazzulla so much?
I don't know if I do. I mean,
every other coach in this town, you're bashing and running them out of town. Well, some of them were guys who hadn't won squat. Mayo?
I mean, Mayo versus
Monty?
Mazzulla is different.
Okay, but I was at least running Bill out of town, so I'll be consistent.
Also, I don't think we were running Montgomery out of town. We said, all right, it gotten to the point where that's what they were going to do, but we were blaming the players more than him.
Mazzulla versus Bill, you have a fair point, Texter. Mazzulla versus Mayo and Mazzulla versus Monty, no contest. Mazzulla's won. He's proven it. Those guys hadn't. So he gets a little more deference than those guys. And the NBA is different. It's not a coaching league. It's a superstar league. And so that's a big factor.
The NFL is completely different. I mean, the NFL is far and away the most important. The other three, I think you could kind of all argue with. Maybe basketball is the second most important. Maybe it's hockey. I can't imagine it's baseball. There's more managing. It's just longer.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of ego stuff, but it's so stat-based. Like, I don't even know if those guys make the lineup. Like, it's just insane.
They don't. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Sam in the van wants to...
Ooh, Sam in the van.
Rip Mazzulla. Go ahead, Sam.
All right, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. I always enjoy you guys, you know.
Thank you.
But I'm a little nervous with the Celtics and is the coach, right? His substitution, he can build a league, see the team, the best players, he leaves them on the bench. You know, and you've got to have your starters, the best players out there to defend against the team.
Okay, so Sam, I disagree with your rotation criticism of Mazzulla. I mean, Mazzulla had Tatum out there the whole second half last night, which I actually thought he stuck with Tatum too long. I was shocked when he started Tatum in the fourth quarter. But whatever, like, I don't really think that's a criticism.
I mean, Tatum and Brown played the whole fourth quarter, so, like, those guys...
Tatum played the whole second half.
Right.
So,
but like they had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and your two best players never came off the floor, and you lost.
Yeah. So that doesn't fit for last night. I do think Mazzulla got out-coached by Udoka. I think that's totally fair to say.
He's not as good a coach.
And Udoka's a better coach, to your point.
Yeah.
Let's play that out, Keith.
All right.
Udoka never gets fired by the Celtics. He's a...
Why, what happened?
He's a respectful employee.
All right, good.
What happened?
He doesn't... Faithful to his girlfriend.
Sure.
Longtime partner.
Right. I haven't heard about Nia Long in a while.
Yeah. And let's just say in a different world, Ime Udoka is still the head coach here.
Yep.
Let's say that.
Okay.
Do they have a title? Do they have multiple championships?
So
do they have zero? Terp brought this up. Is Marcus Smart still here? Would Jalen be gone? You pull at that thread.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of different outcomes.
Ashton Kutcher butterfly effect.
Exactly.
So... I think he's the better coach. I think he gets a lot out of the team. He made the NBA Finals, and then obviously the next year, Mazzulla gets thrown into it. They win more regular season games that year, but they lose in the conference finals. I think Udoka gets them through to the finals
the next year. The year they lost to Miami.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if they beat Jokic, though, in the finals. So this is what it all comes down to. Does Brad Stevens make the deals that he made? If Porzingis and Drew Holiday, specifically Drew Holiday, is on the team last year, then, I bet they do win the title with Udoka, and I bet they're you know, obviously the favorite to win it again this year, and maybe they're not 32-15. Maybe they have a little bit of a better record. You know, Terp's point was Udoka loved Marcus Smart so much that maybe he would have kept Smart.
That's a big strike against Udoka, if that's true. Well, like that makes me rethink my whole stance on him.
Yeah, but...
Subtracting Marcus was, I think, the key. Maybe people think I overrate this. It was the key to that championship run
last
year.
And I know. And
getting him the hell out of the way was massive.
So if he has the same players as Mazzulla, I think he wins the title last year. And, you know, the Celtics don't have Drew Holiday 2 years ago because the Bucks and the Lillard thing and all that, that's away from you. You can't really control that, but that doesn't happen until the next year. So, I don't know, maybe it's the boring answer, but I think Udoka wins the title last year, maybe makes one more finals. Let's say they lose to the Nuggets, which then forces Brad Stevens to change the roster. I bet he could convince Udoka, like, look, I know you like Smart, but we have an opportunity to get Porzingis and Holiday. I think he would sign up for that.
If they make the finals, though, in your scenario, and they lose to Denver, but they make back-to-back finals...
You think they might keep the team?
Well, they might have talked themselves into keeping the team scenario.
Still haven't won.
So
what are the Bills?
Maybe. That's exactly what I was about to say, Keith. They might be sitting here on three straight finals appearances and no titles. Offense.
That'd be sad.
Udoka is a much younger, handsomer, vital Marv Levy.
But
is what he is.
But if they... All right, what about this?
He's a much more virile Marv Levy.
Okay, if last year... It's a much hornier... version of Marv Levy.
I don't know. That Marv was...
Marv Levy, they say...
The horny man.
Yeah. 99 years...
Marv Albert.
Oh, yeah.
The horniest Marv.
I remember hearing about that as a kid and being like, wait, what?
I didn't fully understand that happened? As a kid either. I'm like...
What was he dressed up as? He did what? I'm like, he bit her on purpose? And then you grow up and you mature and you're like, maybe he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on the roster, right? Do they have the same roster? Do they not have the same roster?
How dare you kink shame as an adult?
I'm not now. As a kid, you're just trying to piece it together. Yeah. You know, you're kind of, a lot of information's coming your way, and you're like, the guy that does the games? The guy that announces the games? But he's a legend. He's a legend in the field. I think do they have that same roster? Does Brad Stevens make the same moves that he did? But let's play this one out. If the rest of the league all plays out the same, meaning Donovan Mitchell gets hurt, Tyrese Halliburton gets hurt, you play the Mavericks in the finals, can't he still win it with the Marcus Smart Celtics?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay. Probably. I mean,
so there you go. They have one title still.
If Marcus Smart could stay enough out of the way for Jaylen Brown to take over in the Eastern Conference Finals and Finals when
maybe
you're playing a five
series,
seed and everybody's hurt, probably. Yes.
Maybe each series goes six, but you still win.
So it's an interesting thread to pull out with Udoka. How different would the roster be? Would they have a title? Could they be sitting here with zero championships if he, you know, was on his best behavior while he was head coach of the Celtics?
I also wonder how long we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but how long do they keep that roster intact in Houston, or do you do what every other NBA team does and you're like, all right, this is a good group, but now we have to get the superstar? Like, do they...
No, that's what I would do with that group.
Yeah, right.
I'm very short-sighted, but that's what I would do. I wouldn't wait for...
It's like the Knicks roster before Carmelo Anthony, right? It's like, there's always like that thing where you're like, we're going to win this way, and it's like, no, let's just go get the disgruntled guy from some other team. Like, Jimmy Butler is too old to be... But whoever the next guy is, that's who they need to go
get. Yeah, he's too disgruntled. You need someone...
Too disgruntled and too old. The upside's
not there.
You need
someone more gruntled than him.
Way more gruntled.
He's too disgruntled. You need someone a little more gruntled on that team.
Agreed.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Celtics. What's wrong with them? Is it Mazzulla? How frustrated are you with Tatum? I think Jaylen Brown over the last couple of weeks gotten a lot of criticism. For me, this game, the Lakers game, Tatum pissed me off in both of them. Plus, Celtics may have a new owner in the mix. They certainly will eventually have a new owner. Is that becoming more clear? We'll get to it with all your Celtics phone calls next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
Outkast never did a halftime show, did they?
No, sadly, I don't believe they did.
Andre 3000 did.
Did he? Big Boy did.
And when it was in Mercedes, wasn't it?
Big Boy did. I don't think full-on Outkast did. Did they do it separately?
Big Boy was there, you're right, in the Maroon 5 one.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't full Outkast, though, but Big Boy was there.
Gets a little buried. The reason we bring that up will be... The reason we bring it up will be tearing off Super Bowl halftime shows coming up.
Super Bowl halftime since Patriots first Super Bowl. We're not going to do them all. We're not going to do like the old marching bands.
Yeah, no, we're not going back to black and white. Just going back to, 2001. Patriots go against the Rams. U2. We'll start with that one.
People love U2.
We'll tear off some Super Bowl halftime shows coming up.
All right, very
at 11:30, Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. It's also a Tommy Tuesday. We'll talk to Tommy Curran, High Noon. Keefe for Madness scheduled for 12:45. So stay tuned for all of that. I'll tell you, Bill Simmons had a much stronger tweet than what he said on the podcast there about Jeffrey Lurie.
He apparently is from Massachusetts.
He's apparently from Massachusetts?
You either are or you aren't.
That's what people say about Bill Simmons. He's been in L.A. for so long, they're like, apparently he's from Boston.
He was a Boston sports guy.
You'd never know.
Yeah.
But so, all right, that was not as strong as I would have hoped hearing the audio. I saw Bill's tweet yesterday. I hadn't heard the audio until just now.
Jeffrey Lurie.
Apparently from Massachusetts.
That's the word on the street.
His team's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is.
Again?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Lurie, how many times have the Eagles been to a Super Bowl since he's the owner? Four? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Was he there for the
second
Andy Reid one?
Yes. He was there for the first Andy Reid one. He was there for the Nick Foles.
McNabb, Foles, Hurts.
Yeah. So,
that's pretty good.
You know, four Super Bowl appearances on his watch.
One win.
One title so far.
Yep.
TBD.
Well, we'll
moving
see.
Moving forward.
I think the league's got it in the bag, though, for the Chiefs. So.
He tried to buy, the Patriots way back in the day. He was in the bidding with Robert Kraft. He's tried to buy a number of franchises before he got the Eagles.
The cold seats?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
No one's a bigger Patriots fan than him. But
so this is, I think Jeffrey Lurie would be a good owner for the Celtics. And it's as simple as this.
The only drawback I can see, I'm sorry to jump in. The only drawback I can see is I got to have the Eagles owner in my face, which I don't love.
No.
I don't love the Philly connection.
You think he'll be more hands-on than Wick's dad?
I would hope.
That guy was a ghost. I would hope,
but I think that's a name I never would have thought of. I was aware he was from Boston,
right?
Unlike Bill Simmons. But I never would have thought of him, but that's a pretty good fit, I would think. Like, I'd feel better about him than Pags. I'd feel better about him... Then
Fenway Sports Group. I mean, good
Lord. Sorry, thank you. Definitely than John Henry.
Even Robert Kraft, you feel better about.
Do you feel better about him than like Bezos?
So Bezos is kind of a wild card. Probably not. Bezos, I feel like, would just dump a ton of money into it and like not think twice.
Like Larry Ellison is another name that comes up from Oracle.
But at least
you know Lurie can operate and will invest in a sports franchise. You don't know that with Bezos.
I don't know what Bezos would do with the team. Would he be like Mark Cuban, be at every single game and like a hands-on? Probably not, but you don't know. Like Steve Ballmer, would he like take a team on like Steve Ballmer, or would he just be like, that's one of the many things that I own and let the guys run it? So Jeffrey Lurie has run a successful Eagles team, and I just looked this up because I think this is very important. The cash spending, active cash spending right now, I went to overthecap.com. The Patriots famously are dead last.
Yeah, they're
they
not so
don't
hot
spend
at that.
A lot of money
no,
on the
no,
team.
No, no, no. Despite what people tell you,
they did
don't
sign
spend
on Wenu, best tackle in the free agency.
They
class.
Paid Jelani Tavai. We love that guy.
The Philadelphia Eagles spend twice as much on their team as the Patriots.
Nice.
So this salary cap league where you can only spend so much, and we spend up to the cap. Actual money spent. Jeffrey Lurie has invested for this season twice as much as the Patriots.
Do you think maybe there's a correlation between the Patriots playing like ass since Tom Brady left and the Eagles being in two Super Bowls in the last 4 years? Do you think there's any tie in there?
I can't think of anything.
So two in the last three? Two in the last three, excuse me.
So Jeffrey Lurie has had three different head coaches make the Super Bowl, three different quarterbacks make the Super Bowl. And I know he's only won one, but they're competitive year in and year out. And to me, it's just more the commitment, because the scary thing is the next owner going to come in here and be like, we got to get rid of Porzingis and Holiday or whatever. Like, we're not making as much money as we can be because the salary or the contracts are so high. Do you need somebody that says, yeah, we want to keep the team being an NBA title contender, so we know we're going to have to spend into the luxury tax. And I feel like based on what he's doing with the Eagles, I think he would do that with the Celtics.
I think he'd be – I'd feel real good about Jeffrey Lurie. Maybe it's not top of my list, but I'd feel real good about it. And it's better than, again, Pags, because you know Lurie has money and can do it. It's better that Pags is very, very rich. Is he rich enough to sustain what the Celtics have going on? I'm not sure. Lurie's proven the investment. So you have the NBA, or the ownership, rather, sale looming over everything going on with the Celtics, who struggle on the floor. We'll get back to your phone calls. Mike is in Brockton. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I have a statement, but I also have a question for you guys at the end. But my concern with them right now is their lack of physicality. And if you look at some of the games they lost, Memphis, Cleveland, they got beat up, and they're not very physical right now, and it's affected them on rebounds. It's affected them defensively, and those teams that beat them are just beating them up. I think that's the.
So, Mike, I agree. I agree, and we saw that with the Rockets last night. What's your question for us?
Yes, exactly. Yes, but the question I have with you guys is, you talked about it last week. I listened to you guys, and there was a statement that. Jaylen Brown did not take any press conferences for like a while, which I even realized that. So you guys said it, but also something else was said that it was like, well, he made a couple statements publicly that he's starting to learn the offense, number one, and number two, his role offensively is not the same. I wonder if any of the beat guys that you guys know have elaborated on that, because it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so Mike, I think what it is he stopped playing the full first quarter, and Tatum started playing the full first quarter. They've gone back to this, but I think that's what we've deduced he was talking about. His change in role was the rotation,
but I think also they're making him a little bit more of a playmaker. Like, I think you've seen the assists go up a little bit, but they're also asking him to, you know, not just be a scorer on the wing. I think they're asking him to, like, facilitate the offense a little bit more, which I think he's getting used to. So there's a couple of things that are different from last year.
Yeah, so I think that's what we've honed in on. Jaylen, since he got called out, did start doing media appearances again.
Yeah.
And he was always talking to, you know, Abby Chen on the broadcast, but he wasn't talking to the media after some of these games.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be fixed. I'm honing more in on Tatum and his struggles, which, when your superstar is a little soft, maybe you get beat up by more physical teams, as we're seeing, like, the Rockets last night. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your phone calls, and we'll get to Super Bowl 59, Eagles and Chiefs. Let's match up Andy Reid against Bill Belichick. We'll do that next.